Hello, it's Thursday, May 11th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, which can be found at wingtv.net, the place where some people love us, some people hate us. But you know what, Lisa? They keep tuning in. And you know why? It's because we're telling the truth, unlike a lot of other people out there. We're not company men. We're not company women. We're not lockstep patriots that have to walk in line like some people that networks do, whether it's the mainstream media or the alternative media. If the network lays down an edict and says, this is what you're allowed to talk about, and this is what you're not allowed to talk about, well, we don't have any networks that we answer to. We don't have any sponsors that we answer to. We just come out here and tell it the way it is. And that's why we're not lockstep patriots that follow a little narrow line.
We're getting a lot less hate mail these days than we used to get from little groupies and minions.
Yeah, there's still
some proof there.
Yeah, there's still the ones that drink the Kool-Aid and bow down and do the idol worshiping. But it seems like we hear the whispers and we get the email from people that say, hey, did you hear about this latest thing, whatever it is? But they won't talk about it. So we are the ones on Wing TV that have to bring it out. We talk about it on this show. We publish the articles, and we're the ones that bring it to light. And then everyone finally says, yeah, that's the same exact thing I was thinking. We got an email yesterday, actually this morning, from someone that read the Alex Jones article yesterday about his $74 ticket prices. And he says, what's next? Alex Jones action figures? Alex Jones cereal? I mean, like, this is going to become like a big comic book thing to him. So, anyway.
Let's hope not.
Let's hope not for sure. Now, anyway, before we get started with our Wing TV lead article today, which was written by Lisa Giuliani, I want to direct everybody to the second article on the Wing TV homepage below that one. And we posted this yesterday, and we're going to keep it on all week through the weekend. And this is the letter that was sent by Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad to President Bush. Now, there's a different version floating out there. This was a translated version that ended up being censored in the process. What we have is the original translated, uncensored version, and we're going to spend a good part of tomorrow's show discussing this letter, because I'll tell you what, I think Ahmadinejad right now is the most important political figure in the world today, and he's talking completely different than anybody else out there. So,
from what we can see. Who censored the one version?
Well, I guess, what was it, Le Monde or something in France? And what they're doing is basically they're just not releasing the full version of his letter.
Are you sure that was Le Monde? Because I thought I read that Le Monde was the translator.
Oh, well, it was a French publication that first got this, and that's the one that's not complete. And if you go to the Wing TV homepage, you'll see that this is actually the typed version as it was translated. And it's a very intense letter.
Very powerful.
And, yeah, and something that everybody out there has to read, because you'll see a vast difference in the way that the president of Iran is approaching the world and philosophy as composed to our bozo here.
Yeah, I wonder who had to read it to Bush and explain it to him.
Yeah. In all honesty, I don't even know if it even made it that far up the chain of command. I know Condoleezza Rice dismissed it out of hand. Out of hand. And when you read this letter, you'll see really how amazing it is in the things that he's saying. So we're going to talk about it more tomorrow. And there's things going on. I know I was reading an article today about Russia's president, Vladimir Putin, and he's not coming right out and saying it, but making some very veiled statements about how anti-New World Order they are becoming in Russia. So, you know, we're going to talk more about it tomorrow.
Was any reasoning given by Condi Rice for her dismissal out of hand of Ahmadinejad's letter?
You know, I'd have to go back. I think it's still linked on the Wing TV homepage right now. But
He's the president of a country
that's going to be nuked within the next couple months.
And I don't think her status is above his.
No, no. But, of course, she's the big CFR neocon member, and she's in the cabal, the Washington, D.C. cabal. So we're going to talk about it more. In the meantime, take a few minutes. I think it's 16 or 17 pages, but it's, like I said, it's a typed version, so it's a fairly quick read. And we're going to cover that tomorrow, but it's very important the way he's approaching things. And until tomorrow, what we're going to talk about now is a gentleman named Wally Miller. And I'm going to let Lisa explain, first of all, who this guy is and why he's important to 9/11 and Flight 93.
Wally Miller is the Somerset County coroner for who was involved in the Shanksville Flight 93 crash. He had jurisdiction over that crash site slash crime scene, at least until the FBI descended upon the scene and took control of the investigation. Wally Miller also is a funeral director in that area, and so he wears several different hats there. He's well-respected in the community and has been described as unflappable and a solid rock of the community.
Yeah, and basically, he was the point man.
Right.
The official point man from the Somerset County, Shanksville area that worked in unison with the FBI, and we visited Wally Miller in Shanksville when we made our trip down there last week, and we described that a little bit yesterday, but what we did is went to his funeral home that he owns. It's called Miller's Funeral Home.
Uh-huh.
And describe what we found inside, Lisa, inside the funeral home.
Well, we knocked on the front door and nobody answered. We walked in and all the lights were off. None of the chapel rooms were set up for viewing. No flowers were standing there waiting for some type of service to be performed at any time. Normally, flowers arrive well prior to a viewing. We didn't see any names on any directories. There were no people laid out for viewings as, you know, like deceased people.
Basically,
nobody was there. It looked like the place was closed.
Right. There were no cars in the parking lot outside except
right.
for ours. And in essence, it wasn't set up for a viewing or what you would typically think of as bustling activity inside a funeral home.
I know well what a funeral home's supposed to look like prior to wakes, viewings of dead people, and this absolutely was nothing going on there on May 2nd.
Right, so we thought nobody was there at all, so we walked outside into the parking lot, but we noticed a side door. So I went up, rang the doorbell there, and a few moments later, the door opened, and it was actually Wally Miller and a female assistant. We don't know if it was his wife or someone that was working there, but we asked him if we could ask him a few questions, and right off the bat he says, well, if you hear about that movie, United 93, I don't want to talk about it. We're like, no, sir, we don't want to talk about that. And he was like, well, I'm real busy right now. I'm too consumed with work. You have to come back at 6 o'clock tonight. Well, we were leaving that afternoon. We couldn't come back. So I'm standing there holding the door, and Wally keeps trying to close it while I'm holding the door.
He spent the first 2.5 minutes of the 3 minutes he afforded us at the side door of the funeral home trying to tell us how busy he was, why he couldn't speak to us. But he did agree to speak to me at a later date on the phone and do a telephone interview.
Yeah. And in all honesty, considering how small Shanksville is in the first place, I can't imagine there's all that many dead people to start with.
Well, even in New York City, when my dad was a trade embalmer for 13 different funeral homes in a very, very large, big city, there were funeral homes that he did work for that had nothing going on various days of the year. I mean, there's no set schedule for when people are going to die.
And that's New York City. And this is Shanksville that really is just two parallel streets and then one running perpendicular to him. I mean, there's really not a whole lot there. And so, actually, I think his funeral home was in Somerset. But regardless, it wasn't set up for a viewing, okay? But he was so consumed that he couldn't talk to us at that moment. And what we really think happened was that somebody tipped him off the day before and let him know that we were in town nosing around.
Yeah, another point that we observed is that he was wearing jeans, and a funeral director is not going to perform any type of service wearing jeans.
Exactly.
They wear somber-looking suits.
Yeah, so he was basically shining us on.
Yeah.
But anyways, Lisa asked him if she could call him and ask him some questions on the telephone this week. And so yesterday you called him twice, correct?
Right. The first call lasted approximately 33 seconds, and Wally pretended or made like he didn't remember who I was, and so I refreshed his memory, and then he immediately said, I have nothing to say to you guys, nah, and he hung up the phone on me. So I waited a little while, and I called Wally back, and I appealed to him and just tried to get him to talk to me for a few minutes, and so he said he wouldn't hang up on me right away, and he still wouldn't really answer questions. I tried to ask him about the people who aren't showing up listed as deceased with Social Security from Flight 93, and his response to that was that I don't work for Social Security. And he said, I issued presumptive death certificates for all the people on the plane. I said, yes, sir, I know. That's why it's so unclear why they're not showing up listed as dead 4.5 years later. And he started to unravel and raise his voice and bellow at me.
At one point he said, I know who you are because I saw your business card. You're from...
I was getting to that. Yeah. That was at the end.
Right.
But he started saying to me, what's your theory? What's your theory? What are you saying? I said, sir, I'm just trying to ask you some questions. You know, my theory is that we haven't been told the entire truth about what happened on 9/11. He said, that's hooey. I asked him about what the ambassador to the temporary memorial told us about the entire fuselage being extracted from the crater. And he said, he started yelling about, why are you saying half-truths? And, you know, I don't understand why he became so defensive and angry and agitated, because Wally Miller has done countless interviews with mainstream media correspondents over the last 4.5 years, and he felt quite comfortable, apparently, doing those. So what would be one more? And I mean, from the very start, he was agitated and anxious and just uncomfortable and yelling. And
so finally... He said something about he knows what organization you're with, and he started...
I said, I read your business card. I know who you are. And I said, sir, I don't believe we've given you a business card. And then I said, we never did give you a business card. And so right after that is when he hung up.
That's when he hung
up. But before he did hang up, while he was yelling, he told us to... he told me to go talk to Bill Crowley of the Pittsburgh FBI. And I asked him, are you under a gag order? And he said, no, he's not. He's done a lot of interviews. He said, but he wouldn't answer the questions. He referred me to Bill Crowley right after that. So, no, Wally's not under a gag order, but he wants you to talk to the FBI, not to him.
And it seems like everybody we spoke with, in an official sense anyway, in Shanksville and Somerset, keeps referring us to somebody else. So the
or
state,
they have to clear it with somebody else before they can even talk to us.
The state police refers to somebody else. The newspaper reporter refers us to someone else. Wally Miller refers us to somebody else. No, it's like, you know, Harry Truman, the buck stops here. Well, where does the buck stop? Who's going to answer the questions? Because everyone we keep asking refers us or pushes us off to somebody else.
Right, and Wally Miller stated to us on May 2nd when we were there on our road trip that... all of the human remains from Flight 93 have been positively identified. And the lady at the newspaper, the Daily American in Somerset County, correspondent Vicky Rock, told us, no, that's not true, that all of the remains have not been positively identified. Well, so we have this contradiction here. Well, yesterday when I spoke with her again, she continued to refute him and cited a victim family member from Flight 93 who... at a meeting, two meetings ago, I'll have to check the exact date of that, asked for all of the remaining unidentified human tissue remains to be entombed at the memorial site, and the officials at that meeting said they would, quote, take care of that.
Yeah, and we would like to know, first of all, where these human remains even came from, because...
Well, we want to know about the discrepancy. Wally Miller's saying everybody was identified. The DMOR website... Disaster Mortuary Operational Rescue Team, which works with the feds to identify human remains. On their website, it says all the human remains were positively identified. Then you have this newspaper woman and victim family members saying different things.
Mm-hmm. So
it's very interesting.
As we said yesterday, if everything is cut and dried, if the official story completely holds water and there's nothing in existence outside of the official story or any irregularities, why are all of these people so adamant in their refusal to discuss the particulars.
Not only that, defensive, paranoid, very hostile,
right,
uncooperative, disagreeable, you name it. Mr. Unflappable was not only flapping, he was flapping furiously in the wind.
Yeah, so why don't we go over some of these questions real quickly, and you can also check these out on the Wing TV homepage. Just click on the archives list right on the right-hand side. You'll get the whole article, but you'll see that absolutely there are still a lot of unanswered questions about this crash site.
All right, the first question to Wally Miller. Mr. Miller, you've stated all human remains of Flight 93 were identified. Did the FBI or other federal intelligence agencies help make these positive IDs? Vicky Rock at the Daily American newspaper in Somerset stated to us that not all of these purported passengers and hijackers were identified. So please explain this contradiction.
Right. Number two is, there's a guy that we mentioned a little bit earlier, Bob Schmucker, from the Shanksville Memorial. He's called the ambassador. And he told us when we went to this memorial site, which is really nothing more than a shack, he said that local excavation crews actually pulled the entire fuselage out of the ground, out of the crater, that it was down 48 feet into the ground. Yet when we asked Wally Miller about this, he said, oh, no, that's absolute nonsense.
And he said it was crumpled up.
Yeah. Bob Schmucker said it was crumpled up like a piece of aluminum foil. So, again, we have another contradiction. Was the fuselage, and I guess we should also add, how about the engines, the nose, the tail, anything else taken out of this crater?
Right. Of all the people that we spoke to in Shanksville, Indian Lake, and Somerset County, a lot of them said that there were debris and human remains hanging in the tree line at the crash site. Yet there's no publicly available photos to show evidence of this. And normally a plane crash site looks like a rag and bone shop. In fact, there was just a plane crash in Somerset County yesterday near the airport. A smaller plane, but they did show video of wreckage and debris on the ground.
Just like practically every other plane crash in the history of aviation.
So this question is, why does this Shanksville crash site look so inexplicably clean?
Right. Another question is, how long did Mr. Miller hang on to the evidence from this crime scene before he turned it over to the FBI?
Right. The next question deals with the accident reports that should have been filed for all of the crash sites by the NTSB on 9/11. We can't seem to find these, and we'd like to know what he knows about them.
All right. This is a very important question here. How long did it take the FBI to arrive on the scene on the morning of 9/11? And we ask this because we talked to a volunteer fireman in Somerset County, in the town of Somerset, and he said that the FBI seemed like they knew where everything was going to happen even before it happened that morning. Like, they arrived on the scene almost immediately. So we'd like to ask or get an exact time of how long from the supposed crash until the FBI...
And I would think Wally Miller would know the exact day, minute, hour that the FBI showed up on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Next question... asks Wally Miller, does he have any specific knowledge of the FBI and PA State Police cordoning off an area in New Baltimore, Pennsylvania, as reported by Brian Cabell of CNN?
Right, another question. And this regards actually more the Somerset County Hospital, but we got a report from a woman named Susan McElwain. She's in Phantom Flight 93, and she told us from inside sources at the hospital that they were received a phone call telling them to expect survivors from two different crash sites.
Right.
We want to know if this is true or not.
The next question deals with the possibility of Flight 93 being shot down. Many people that we spoke to said they saw fighter jets trailing Flight 93, and a lot of people suspect that it was shot down.
The next question, could you explain how people in Indian Lake, which is a mile to a mile and a half away from Shanksville, and New Baltimore, which is 6 miles driving from Shanksville, maybe 4 miles as the crow flies, how could they have or hear gravel falling on the roof and find seat backings, pieces of the plane, and so forth, when the wind that morning was only blowing at 9 or 10 miles an hour. 9 or 10 miles an hour is a gentle breeze at best. How is it blowing even human remains that far?
Right. The government said Flight 93 liquefied into the ground. I'm sure everybody remembers that. Yet, Rick Ryder of MIT did a scientific analysis that shows that the plane would have to be coming in at like Mach 4 or thereabouts in order for this liquefaction process to occur. So we'd like Wally, if he could, to explain how, given the capabilities of a Boeing jetliner, how this could liquefaction process could be achieved.
Right. And for your information, Mach 1 is approximately 750 miles an hour. So to get to Mach 4, when this plane was only viewed anywhere from 100 to 200 to 500 feet off the ground flying above the tree line, how could it possibly, at its highest point at 500 feet off the ground, hit the ground going at Mach 4? It's physically impossible. The next question regards an article that Vinny Sammartino wrote about the 9/11 passenger list oddities and the Social Security Death Index. To get more information, it's all contained in Phantom Flight 93.
The next question deals with Todd Beamer's father, and his name is David Beamer, and his linkage to a previous no-bid contract with the Pentagon Reconstruction Project when he was CEO of a company called Legato Systems.
Right.
And we want to know if Wally Miller thinks there's anything kind of unusual or strange about that.
Right. There were 44 supposed passengers on Flight 93 that morning. Of course, there was an 86% absentee rate or vacancy rate on that airplane, so it was essentially empty. But needless to say, the weight of these 44 bodies would have been approximately 6,000 pounds. Now, we're supposed to believe that upon impact, there was this huge fireball and that these bodies supposedly would have burned into wreckage. Well, did anybody there smell what would have been human, burning human flesh? 6,000 pounds
of human flesh. And let's put it this way. If there was burning flesh, they would have smelled it. It's an unmistakable, undeniable, unavoidable odor.
Right, and we quote in Phantom Flight 93 a Nigerian plane crash where they said that these bodies were burned, there was a huge fireball and so forth, and they said it was unmistakable. Just try to imagine when you go into your barbecue out in your backyard and you throw a couple steaks and hamburgers. What a smell that creates. What an aroma. You have 6,000 pounds of human flesh. Did anybody smell it burning?
And no one we talked to smelled anything like that.
Right.
Regarding the actual rate of speed of Flight 93, no matter who we talked to, we got a different rate of speed. There's so much local confusion, it seems like, over in that area. No matter who you talk to about what rate of speed Flight 93 was actually coming in at, we'd like to know if Wally Miller knows the accurate rate of speed.
Right. Now, other people, and we've met dozens and dozens of people in Shanksville, Indian Lake, New Baltimore, and they were telling us that the wreckage, the supposed wreckage that nobody is able to see from photographs, that the largest piece was anywhere from 3 foot by 1.5 foot, but then other people said that there was pieces as big as a Volkswagen. Other people said the biggest pieces could have fit in the back of a pickup truck. So we want to know if there's any photographs, either released or unreleased, that Wally Miller still has that can verify or show us the wreckage that supposedly was laying around this crater, because we're not able to see any of it from the available photographs.
Right. Many people in Shanksville, Indian Lake, and New Baltimore were very suspicious of the FBI's role in the investigation. So we'd like to know what Wally Miller thought of the FBI's handling of this investigation and their role in the matter.
Right. Why is there so much secrecy, again, about this plane wreckage? Why is there so much secrecy? And if everything, as we said before, if everything adds up, why can't it all just be released to
us? Why can't we see photos that show us some perspective? Bob Schmucker, who, as we mentioned, calls himself the ambassador of the memorial site, told us that a mound located on the memorial site, behind the fenced-in area of the crash, contains ground tree limbs and human remains, and he cites Wally Miller, the coroner, as the source of this information. So we'd like to know if this is accurate, and if so, why would anyone leave human remains in a mound above ground to be exposed to weather degradation?
All right, now everybody's heard reports that 6, 7, possibly 8 of the purported hijackers are still alive. There's been various reports. Well, two of the purported hijackers from Flight 93 have been reported to be alive. One of them is named Saeed Al-Ghamadi, and the other one is Ahmad El-Nami. Well, if you read this article on the Wing TV homepage that Lisa compiled, you'll see Al-Ghamadi saying that he was shocked and furious to learn that 3 days after the 9/11 attacks, he was one of the people fingered as one of the hijackers. Another guy, Ahmad El-Nami, said that he'd never even heard of Pennsylvania before until the 9/11 terrorist attacks, and obviously he was still alive saying that he'd never heard of Pennsylvania. So, and we also have links to 4 different articles in Lisa's article that verify what this says. So, are these individuals still alive, or did they actually die on the morning of 9/11?
And how does that reconcile with Wally Miller's statement that every person on board has been identified positively?
Exactly.
If you've got living people, then obviously somebody you identified was not correct.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd like to know where the source of those IDs came from. We have a feeling we already know.
Right.
The intelligence agencies involved. Another question that we have for Wally. We were told while we were there that local excavation companies were utilized to dig out the crater and pull out these supposed pieces of wreckage. So we would like to know who these excavation companies were, because we weren't able to get anybody to spell that out for us while we were there.
Right. And last but not least, we would like to know if Mr. Wally Miller, the Somerset County coroner, who owns a funeral parlor in Somerset, if he will release all reports, medical
copies
of reports, medical and otherwise, about what happened on the morning of 9/11. These are either compiled by him or anybody in his office, so that the entire world can examine them.
Yeah, we really need to see pertinent, relevant data regarding all aspects of this investigation, because there has been no transparency and there has been no disclosure, and 4.5 years later we're still publicly in the dark, and we need somebody to release information. You look on the NTSB website, their links to their alleged reports link to nothing. When you click on their links, all their links tell you is to refer to the FBI, and the FBI will release information as time goes on and they deem it necessary. Well, that's not good enough. That's right. Not acceptable.
Now, Lisa, before we close the show out today, do you think, and I'll ask everybody listening to Wing Radio today, do you think these are crackpot, insane, lunatic fringe questions that we've posed in this article and on the radio show today?
Well, I don't personally think so. And for somebody to get so defensive and irritated and agitated and uncomfortable and lose their composure so much just to be asked 1 or 2 questions, and we didn't even get through at least 20 of these questions, because he wouldn't let me even get through 2 questions without flipping out. It makes me really wonder why, because in the past he's not had this type of problem with interviews. But then again, as the New American, the Daily American correspondent, Vicky Rock, said to me on the phone yesterday, I've never actually gone there, so I wouldn't know how he would react. And
yeah,
I'll bet none of them have gone there.
So these, at least from our perspective, are very rational, very legitimate questions concerning the greatest or the gravest or the worst terrorist attack ever waged against this country. If everything adds up in regard to the government's official story, why can't Wally Miller go down this list of 20-plus questions and say, sure, here's the answer to 1, 2, 3, 4, and say, there, everything's cleared up, nothing's hidden, everything is out in the open.
One more thing I want to note, too. The lady, Vicky Rock, when I asked her if she or her newspaper would be into investigating this, you know, I said, I hope that you're going to follow up on this Social Security Death Index passenger list anomaly information. And this is what her reply was. No, we don't intend to do that because we don't see a story there. Mm-hmm. This is their local newspaper. They know people in that area. They live among them. And they don't think there's a story there. We've got people listed as dead on a major terror attack on our country in their backyard, and they don't see a story there when the people aren't showing up listed as dead.
Yeah. And I don't even know how she could have come up with that answer, because when we visited her office last week, that's the first she had ever even heard.
That's right.
Of the irregularity.
Because we asked her if she was familiar with this information. She said she hadn't been aware of it at all.
Yeah, so did
no
she
curiosity.
Make, yeah, did she make this judgment right there on the spot, or did she actually go to her editor and say, hey, these people from Wing TV came down here, or they were asking about the Social Security Death Index, or are they pretty much just conditioned or patterned to blow this kind of information off? Because we're asking questions now in Shanksville that very few people have ever asked in person, other than, I think, Christopher Bolin from the American Free Press. And I think there was also a German television station that traveled there. But in essence, there's only been two or three different sets of reporters that have even gone to Shanksville to ask real questions, and not just those that go around the periphery of the government's official lies.
Yeah, well, we know the truth is out there somewhere, and so we intend to head back to Shanksville in the very near future and follow up on this investigation and keep asking questions people don't want us to ask.
Exactly, and if you want to contact Wally Miller, he is in the phone book in Somerset County. We're going to be on Visigoth's show tonight from the Grassy Knoll from about 5:30 until 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. I believe Matthew Tartaglia might be joining us. I'm not sure. But tune in tonight. I think we're going to talk a little bit more about Flight 93. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the Iranian president's letter to George Bush. In the meantime, read it on the Wing TV homepage. And we're very much looking forward to having this be our Friday show to move into the weekend. So until tomorrow, I also want to say Lisa did an excellent job on these 22 questions. And tomorrow,
thank you.
She compiled an overview of our trip to Shanksville. And that's going to be our lead article tomorrow. So until then, keep your eyes open, because there's a lot going on.
See you all then.